Okay, so we'll start our discussion session.
I guess I'll say words to,
As you heard this morning, gas, ion gas, nuclear gas, and all that, the central fuel process of the galaxy is extremely complicated. I guess the, in the context of the galactic nucleus, so you were sort of, at least our galaxy that's far away, you tend to have sort of a nice picture of gas, a dusty torus around the center, like in Seyfert galaxies, or in fact that presumably lead to the Seyfert 1, Seyfert 2 sort of classification because of viewing angle. And then, of course, when you go closer into the center, you've got the central engine and the accretion disk. The galactic center being so nearby, presumably, is a wonderful laboratory, as someone said at the beginning, that you can really test this picture. So I guess a CND is sort of like a torus that you would sort of place that in the category of sort of a torus around the AGN. And yet we assume that it's too complicated in terms of what it actually is, the motion, and how it got here, and how long it lasts, and the structure. Now, at least in the case of NGC 4258, you do see a very clear, I think, example, directly observed accretion disk. Now, I don't know whether there's the equivalent observation of a torus in that case. Not that I know of, actually. So, and yet, you come back to the galactic center, we've been trying to detect that accretion disk in the near infrared, it's not there. So somehow, you don't quite fit. So that's at least my inability to put everything together. So I think Doug was trying to, I think it was
to show us the
3D structure, at least of the ionized gas. Maybe that's sort of a good way to start.
Yeah, this is actually so from some discussions from Bernd, Robin, myself, and Laurent. We kind of were interested in coming back to Chris's first step on the first day of the conference and trying to understand the 3D structure of the gas and trying to put the different clouds. So we tried to put the Sagittarius West, Sagittarius East, the 50 kilometer per second cloud, the 20 kilometer per second cloud, the high negative velocity gas. And does anybody know what this name of this small tentative supernova remnant to the southeast of Sagittarius East is? Is there a name for that? Or?
It has some G.
Okay, and whatever that is, that's where we initially put it. And as far as where we put it along line of sight, the blue line is towards us. And I just thought I'd put it up here just as a first step for the discussion to see if people believe in this or if they had strong arguments one way or another about what's in front or behind or if something's particularly far.
What are the white dots?
Actually, Laurent can talk about that. There are some stars that are coming in with the high velocity negative gas that this cloud should actually be curving behind. I can only make very simple shapes on my computer last night. So as the cloud actually appears to be curving towards that big star, the stars continue on their trajectory, the massive stars that you see.
They're going to those clouds again.
This is the 20 kilometer per second cloud. The blue is the 50 kilometer per second cloud. The gray or white is Sagittarius West with Sagittarius Star at the center of the coordinate system. This puts Sagittarius West kind of going into a little bit of Sagittarius East in this model. And then I guess this uncertainty is as to where this is along the line of sight. But the basic thing is the Sagittarius East is sort of has part of it embedded in the front side of Sagittarius, or Sagittarius East has the front side of it embedded in the back side of Sagittarius West.
And what side?
So the light green is the Sagittarius East?
Yeah, Sagittarius East. This is the high negative velocity gas from molecular observations. Laurent, OH.
Well, that's an absorption.
It's an absorption as well as an emission. But you can actually see it go being absorbed all over. But the problem is it's at high velocity, and that usually means that people are not looking there.
Do you have a, can you estimate a mass? How massive do you
think
it is?
Well, if you take the CO cloud, Mr. Burton had estimated that it should be about 10 to 5 solar masses.
So do we have any strong reservations about what's in front of what? I mean, this.
I have a question for the theorists, and that is, can you keep the circumnuclear disk as a supernova passes through it, and wouldn't there be an effect on it?
Yeah, the clouds, the clumps are dense enough not to feel.
So the supernova just go through it.
Yes. It will affect the interclump medium and the ionized gas between them, but not really.
Although you do see the top side of C&D, it does seem a bit warped and distorted. So it could be actually due to lots of.
Dynamically, I think it's not possible. I think the distortion comes from something which is massive, more massive, which is coming from outside.
And we actually do 1720, we do see 1720 masses there as well. So there must be something going on.
So can we agree that at least on the observations, that this kind of a geometrical layout is consistent?
I have a question about Sedge A West. So Doug said the northern arm is in front of Sagittarius A star.
Right.
What was Subashi saying about the absorption? Wasn't that the conclusion that Sedge A West is behind Sedge A star?
Sedge A West has to be behind Sedge A star, yeah.
But Sedge A West is a big thing, Sedge A star is a small thing, so you have to be more specific.
He's talking about where we the northern right? arm.
You can't say the whole thing is in front of that. What Doug's thing is more specific is in the northern arm is in front.
Yeah, but right.
The northern part of
the northern part of
the northern arm.
The southern part is behind.
Yeah.
The southern part
The electron density of the northern arm is pretty high, I suppose. So it should have been seen in absorption. Means Sagittarius A should have been absorbed by that. So
northern arm is Sagittarius.
Yeah.
I'm saying the electron density there, I suppose, is pretty high right now, what we recall. I mean, my feeling is it should have been seen in, we should have seen absorption against it. That's the only point, which I don't see. So I'm only saying, I doubt if you can place it in the middle. If you put Sagittarius A star close to the front of Sagittarius AOS, then it should be okay. Close to, I would say. I would not, means right now I cannot say whether it is completely out of Sagittarius AOS, means completely in front of it, but at least I mean,
everybody's discussions here with kinematics show it to be all the ionized gas to be orbiting around it from, you know.
Yeah, but how do you relate, means it is not clear to me at least that, how do you relate from the kinematics that, means how do you relate Sagittarius A star with Sagittarius A west? Means how do you relate directly? Is there a direct observational signature of that?
Kinematics, I mean.
There's just another point to rather old paper we wrote, that just taking the mean density of the diffuse free emission, taking the number density of the electrons then, and would say that we take a cutoff in the spectrum of such a star around 1 gigahertz, so would place it in the middle of the diffuse emission of such a west, not of the mini spiral, only the diffuse emission. And if you see such a star at 600 megahertz, would place it in the near part to us of that diffuse emission.
Yeah.
That doesn't tell us anything about the mini spiral, which is much higher density, we wouldn't see it at all.
Yeah.
And all the kinematics are of the mini spiral, except for this new bright gamma, which may have some.
I was going to ask, the one thing I didn't know is, what's the opacity or the optical depth in the minis in the northern arm? Does anybody know? I mean, should we expect to see stuff behind the northern arm? Or should we expect should we expect to see stuff behind the northern arm if the northern arm isn't back in front of like?
No, not below 1 gigahertz.
Yeah. At really low
frequencies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At low frequencies.
Yeah.
I just want to point out that at 20 centimeters, the reality energy is historically, you can hardly see the mini spiral because of the opacity of that.
Sure.
So that means the opacity is of the order of unity in the mini spiral at 1 gigahertz.
1.4
gigahertz.
So are we
agreed
or not? No, I
don't. Just if we can zoom in on the central part that you talked about, the mini cavity having looking like it has evidence for non-gravitational motions, and I agree with you. I think it may have to do with the star in the middle of the mini cavity, but as Don Feiger showed in his very quick video, it looks like there may be a bipolar outflow plus or minus 200 kilometers a second oriented in the southeast northwest direction. And so that there's that blowout kind of feature to the southeast that may, that's aligned with that bipolar outflow. So I think we are saying the same thing.
Oh yeah, I think we are. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, something funny is going on and right near the cavity.
It's not just a spherical outflow, as you might expect from that.
I know. I'm still not completely happy. Maybe someone could show the mini spiral again and just show me where exactly, at what point it's before and where it's behind. Just to get a visual impression. But okay. It's the day after the banquet, so I don't know.
Okay, so this is my day for the mini spiral.
That's from the front, right?
Yeah. So. I have a small, I think there's a little bit, I have a galactic plane, I mean the plane of the sky with Sagittarius West, with Sagittarius Star in it.
Okay, so when
the red vector is pointing right towards us, that's exactly.
So it's going behind Sagittarius Star when it's
right.
Near Sagittarius Star.
Right. So this is inclined towards us in front of Sagittarius Star, all the CND, and then in the oscillations about the next. Idea which has been seen before, and the fact that opacity is really high in the outer edge of the western arc appears to be that there's obviously gas dust mixed in with that that's extinguishing the flux from that, and then the part of the mini cavity which is behind Sagittarius Star, which
not inconsistent with what you're saying.
No, I'm saying that first of all, I think as I recall from the radio image, the Sagittarius A star should be slightly northwest of what you are showing right now.
The Sagittarius Star?
Yes, slightly northwest.
I mean, Sagittarius Star is completely out of scale, and
yes.
I mean, it's a cartoon view.
But
my line emission map is exactly this one.
So it's not necessarily inconsistent.
Yeah, that's consistent.
No, but
I think
the line
has a large problem.
Yeah, Sagittarius A star, if it is see the tau, essentially what I'm saying, it has to be at least, it cannot be in the middle of Sagittarius A, which, that's the point. It has to be in the front. Front means, I have to do a calculation and check it out exactly where to place it, but it cannot be, means we do not see any signature of absorption, so which I think rules out, because this observation signature, which I think rules out Sagittarius A star, can be within Sagittarius A, which means it is not in the middle, that's clear.
So you're saying it's not in the middle, but
yeah.
wasn't Zhao saying that it is in the middle of the diffuse emission? I just heard that from someone.
West, what do you mean?
It's the difference. I wonder at the moment if the diffuse emission, if we take the 610 megahertz measurement, means that such a star is in front of that diffuse emission.
Yeah.
But is it possible that the diffuse emission is not centered on the mini star.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I think if you accept that the Sagittarius star is the supermassive thing, I mean, that really does define the center of the dynamical center of the galaxy.
Yeah.
And the diffuse thing may or may not be at the center. Right? So I think that's a point.
No, but the diffuse thing is already optically thick. My claim is the Sagittarius AOH, the diffuse region near Sagittarius AOH, has an optical depth of something like 2 or more than that at 610 megahertz. So whereas we see absorption less than 10%. So it argues very strongly against even located within the diffuse region. It is not. It cannot be within the diffuse region.
But
that's
it says nothing about the mini. This is kind of a different feature that does plot. So we
right.
can push all that diffuse emission behind it, but still leave the mini spot. The arcs. The cath and the main spiral there.
But I thought what you understand is that the diffuse gas in Sagittarius A West and those three arms are related. That's what I'm
saying. I guess that's the question. Are we willing to drop that?
That I think is a less certain than that Sagittarius star being identified with a massive object that sits at the dynamical center.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of the.
I think there's a noise, maybe have a resolution, but also you have to. 8 arcseconds.
Yeah.
So the diffuse really is first.
Sorry?
You had 8 arcseconds beam.
Yeah.
And so in that region, we know there is a kind of, if you look at the Ron Eagles paper, there's a tremendous diffuse non-small components in this region.
Well, the point is here, if you cut down the extended emission, you can reduce to a large extent by putting rejecting data at lower energy spacing. So that I did, and which you left over, the image which you get then the background is something like 0.1 Jansky. So I don't see that means the background can really contribute much towards the.
Do you have to any kind of explain, you know, to look at the difference kind of cutoff in the baseline and see.
True. I have seen that. I have done that, and I don't think.
With the point source.
Yeah, so my point is that what I did that by changing the failure baselines, I don't think that 0.6 Jansky which you have given has an uncertainty of more than 0.1 Jansky. I don't expect so.
Yeah.
I'd like to turn the discussion away from a little bit.
May I just one thing? It seems to me that it would be wonderful if a small group of people from diverse wavelength range, diverse viewpoints, would get together and write a paper on this.
Yes, I think that would be very helpful.
There's
been talk of that. Issue of timescale. I guess from the Volmer simulation, you're implying that the CND, for example, is fairly long-lived, on the order of a billion years, right?
Several billion years.
Does everybody agree with that from the observational point of view?
I thought the number was supposed to be considered a force, but I'm kind of looked up. Yes.
That's from the dynamical
time. That was the dynamical.
Size divided by the loss. So, but what is the time scale for San James East, for example? In that?
10 to the 4.
10 to the 4. And do people agree that that affects the CND? At least in that geometrical picture, you have the San James East are fighting against. So if that determines the structure, then the time scale, you know, implies it's actually short, right?
I think it affects luminosity, so things will pop up, but it does not affect kinematics of the matter. It's actually east running over the CND.
So you mean dynamic is actually east does not disrupt the CND?
Even the outer part, or it's too clumpy? It's too clumpy and too massive.
Yeah, if you take it into a clump, it's really massive, but no, it's not going to do it. But it might affect the inner clump medium, so to speak, and you might see enhancements and such in the CND that won't destroy it.
So is the, your geometrical structure, is that consistent with the simulation? Do you think you can explain all this?
This picture comes out from the two mass also, so from absorption and two mass and other things. So this is consistent. So I try to reconcile the line of sight distances with kinematics from the line data. And there I saw that we run into serious problems. And for the moment, that's why I don't talk about that. For the moment, I don't know how to reconcile kind of kinematics, dynamics, and these line of sight things. I have no idea for the moment. And I hope that I can figure this out.
What is the most serious discrepancy?
Problem is that you cannot reconcile the line of sight gradient, for example, for the 20 kilometer cloud with its radial velocity gradient. For the moment, I don't see how this works. This is a real puzzling thing for me. I don't know. So I have to look now to go back to Bonn to look at this beautiful data set of the IROM data and try to make a physical meaningful model. This means which conserves angular momentum, where there are not orbits which are completely weird. So really to make physical things, to make flow, let's say, real dynamics. And that's hard. It seems to be very hard.
Yeah, but on the other hand, what you're doing, I think, is very necessary, because after all, these things get there under some physical mechanism.
Right.
So that's the point. So
at a larger radius, you can have smaller clumps, less dense clumps still survive, because they're not being disrupted. And they may then be disrupted by the supernova out of large radius. So you might see that at 7 parsecs or so, you might see some effect. By the time you get down to 2 or 3 parsecs, you're talking about such dense clumps.
Is it from the ramp pressure, in that ramp pressure argument? Or
From the blast wave, yeah.
While we're at the blast wave, so there is an agreement that Sechae has passed over Sechae star. Is that absolutely clear?
No, I don't think that is clear. I think it's something that would be useful for all of us to discuss. I think most people are in agreement that they've got to be pretty close. I know some people in here think that they're actually touching right now. But I think that's something that while we have all these people together, it's a good thing to discuss, because a lot of people have
It seems like what most people are saying is that it's independent. The position of Sajia East doesn't seem to matter.
Well, wait, I thought Laurent pointed out, and I have some vague memory, there are 0870 megahertz masers.
You have to point those out.
Yeah.
So that they have to be interacting.
Well, the 1720 masers around Sajia East actually also happen to lie on the intersection of the little pink supernova remnant. Right, exactly where Doug is. So there's actually a little bit of question. And those are some of them. And so that may be from the interaction of the two supernova remnants,
Sajia
East and the little pink one. And then there's another one in the north.
Yeah, but right there, right?
Yeah, some people argue that that's actually an OH major that's resulting from the CND being intersected by the northern arm of that mini spiral, and that something's happening there. Remember, people are seeing absorption right there. The velocity of the majors in the south is consistent roughly with, I'm not certain of this, somebody may know better, but I thought it was close to 20 or 30 kilometers per second.
No, this is
15.
But there's more maze, one bit further to the north, towards the blue, there, yes. And there's another maze if you go to the right from there, a bit further. There, yes. There's also a maze. And there's also a maze down towards the red, over there, yes. So I think these things mean something. It's just that we cannot really place them on top of the interaction.
I guess to me that means that Sajia East looks like it's really definitely interacting with the molecular clouds.
Yes.
But I don't know that really adds to the argument of where Sajia West and CND is relative. I'd love to see a little ring of...
But on the other hand, we also do see some filament of OH absorption going over most, or well, over half of Sajia West, right? So it's covering in the northern part and in the southern part. And the big question now is don't we see OH absorption on Sajia star because it's not covering it, or because Sajia star has, or the stars around it have destroyed all the OH so we cannot see it?
Okay, in the remaining few minutes, are you gonna, yes?
Okay, I would like to see something, if Sajia East, this shell goes over the CND, I would expect that you have a more coherent structure, that you see something popping up in a coherent manner. This is not the case, so I always wondered why don't we see this interaction, so it's not a dynamic interaction, but you should see pop up some sign of some coherent signs of the CND, which is, do we have that?
This really got smeared out, and I didn't want to show it, but I can try. It's from
a paper. I have to catch a blank, so.
Use of the 2001 paper, and it's a midwest data plotted on top of the outer contour of the 20 centimeter radio emission. And, well, it's going to be blurry whether I focus this or not. I think that's weird. But, you probably can't see it, but dark means that it's bright and left behind. And there's a very narrow ridge of emission right along that outer contour. Now, I admit you can draw the contour to whatever single voice level you want, so you can make it inside or outside of that. But I think it's an interesting...
So where's the molecular gas around that? I mean, we don't have that in our model, right?
Well, remember that left behind you is not sampling very dense gas.
Okay, so...
Yes.
Where's the
the certain nuclear disk gas, this happens to coincide pretty well with the dense gas as well that you see in HCN here, and here this is the plus or minus 100 times per second plus. This is a new feature.
Where's Sajia star and where's the maser?
Sajia star is the X.
There. And where's the maser?
The masers, there's some down here, and then there's some right here.
Yeah, and there's that, yeah, where your finger is there. And also on the other side, there's a weaker maser.
So,
down south, no. Well, just exactly on the opposite side from the previous maser. In the dark spot on the southwest.
Okay, so,
there, yeah.
So is it fair to say there's some indication of interaction?
Yes.
Okay, now in the last remaining few minutes, I have to come back to the hot gas. Maybe Fred can comment. How is the hot gas compared to all this other neutral ionized and...
I used to bring the image. The most striking thing we saw in our first... Sorry, this is as much as you're going to get. The most striking thing we saw in our first observation is a detailed match between looking at surface brightness.
Yeah.
The surface brightness of the region around Sagittarius West was following the curve of the western arc perfectly through 90 degrees.
The hot gas is found by that?
That is our interpretation. The reason why we say that is if you believe that Sagittarius East is producing most of the emission, then you can have an alternative that the curvature is pure absorption, no physical interaction. However, that also requires another coincidence, not just line of sight, but timing. If the supernova had expanded any farther, then yes, you'd see a trough, but it should come back up. So you need two coincidences. On the other hand, if you're confining the emission, you need one, well, you really don't even need a coincidence. From a lot of, a large range of angles, you would see, due to the confinement, you would see the curvature. And if you remember the C and D HCN map in the Science Review article, not only does it match along going from the western side down, but there even seems to be a bit of a gap where it comes back up, right where there's a big knot of HCN emission, where there's molecular cloud probably part of this, the C and D. So in Yoshi's model of Sagittarius East, that was part of our reason for believing that in fact Sagittarius East has gone through Sagittarius Star, because it's reached the western side of the C and D, the opposite side from the center of Sagittarius East.
So that, are you saying that the diffuse X-ray is filling the Sagittarius East shell?
I think that we see Sagittarius East as background within the Sagittarius West region. Whether that has to be true, whether or not Sagittarius West is inside.
But I'm also interested in the hot gas around the center.
Well, I was going to ask the question earlier. Where does everybody believe this hot gas is coming from? Talking about a 2 keV gas. Now, I can believe that stars in the central region are shocking their winds, but if, as some people want to do, if the IR-16 cluster is actually behind Sagittarius Star by a lot, then I don't understand why.
What do you mean a lot, though?
Well, by whatever they mean. Well, by far enough so that the gravitational influence of Sagittarius Star would be unimportant. Then that wouldn't explain why the emission is more or less concentric around Sagittarius Star.
Actually, I think we can sort of rule that out from the mid-infrared emission, because we really do see a very steep gradient in the dust as you right as you go towards IR-16. So I don't think there's much doubt that the IR-16 cluster is basically in the whole same plane that we're talking about with that northern arc coming down. So we see a very pronounced dust temperature gradient that leads right up to the central part of the cavity, at which point it keeps getting hotter. We just lose too much. We just lose signal. I never saw it drop back down in temperature. It just kept going up until I lost signal of the interior. So I don't think there's any doubt that the IR-16 cluster is right next to the northern arm between the heat.
Yeah, I need to remind people the ionized gas is fairly well contained. It's sparkly, sparkly, and so on, right? And if the ionizing source is from the center, either the single object or cluster of stars, then it doesn't seem like the IR-16, which would be an important source of ionization, would be out of
that. That's right.
Yeah. So it has to be within that.
So that's my.
I agree with all that, but just one little tiny detail. I'm pretty sure that the IR-16 stars are actually just in front of the northern arm, because you don't see them in the mid-infrared at all. You don't see, for instance, the brightest source is IR-16 northeast. It's not there in the mid-infrared. So if there's no dust along the line of sight, local dust that would be heated, you'd expect a dust peak. So it's probably...
Well, I think we'll send a person to evacuate. I mean, I think the IR-16 cluster is just, it's got so much winds, it's sort of evacuated out.
The point is that along the line of sight, the northern arm cuts across IR-16 northeast.
Oh, okay.
And it's not seen in warm dust. Oh, you disagree? Do you have that?
Well, I was just going to point out that in this monitoring data we took with PEG using the LWS at 10 microns, the IR-16 stars are appearing in the mid-infrared for the first time.
But they're very faint.
Very faint.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yes. Okay, yeah, I would like to add one comment from Fred's comment.
Yes.
If we look over this radio shell in X-ray, yes. Basically we see nothing except for Sagittarius A west region. So then something might be happening in Sagittarius A east west. And the other thing is Uchida and Mark's result, and within the 10 parsec region, there is a kind of velocity shear. The inner one is rounding pretty fast, but the outer is pretty low, rotating very slow. So that in order to consider the evolution of Sagittarius A east, we must consider the kind of velocity shear of the shape. So that's Mark and Uchida's job.
That's a question of time scale.
So if the bulk of the Sagittarius A east is behind the CND, I will expect to see the shallowing produced by the CND against the Sagittarius A east. Do you see any sign
of
motion?
That's what Fred was saying, right? That's his. Well, I was talking specifically about the other side,
the
western side.
No, but so if
there is a
the front side,
there's a dramatic, not nearly as strong, but there is a increase as you go from what's clearly far enough away to be Sagittarius up. I don't know. It's confusing. I don't know that I've seen on the eastern side, the direction you're talking about.
Yes, eastern side.
A clear signature of absorption. On the other hand, CND is more disruptive looking on that side. It's so continuous.
I must apologize. I have to go catch a plane. Miller has kindly agreed to take over his chair. It's up to you to let this discussion go on or let's.